come on over, I just wanna listen. I know you got some issues and I know that you just miss him. I got a fever just to see you feeling like a stalker. And didn't know I'm really good at making you feel awkward.
Oh, God. So we're recording a Mutually Awkward podcast. Michael's back on the show from Israel. We've tried recording twice. And, you know, the world is just against us. Maybe you're just not meant to be back on this show again.
The intros are just good. They're having less and less heart every time now, pretty much, you know? The first one had like a lot of energy. The second one had a lot of energy. This one's all like, all right, you know, like, let's just get back to business, you know?
I don't even want to ask about the hippie commune anymore. I don't care anymore.
I feel like we just have to get to the points, all right? So like, okay, so basically, since a lot has happened in the past year, I've been here for a year now, so it's been a year since the last time that we did this, maybe like exactly 1 year.
I think the last episode you were on was episode 50. For folks who don't know, Michael is my brother from the same mother. He lives in Israel, Tel Aviv, Israel, and... you know, he's gone through good times and bad times over there. That journey took him to a hippie commune. Yes, a hippie commune, a land of hippies, where previously he would hate hippies.
I was not a fan of him before, and I feel like that's kind of the push as well as to why I went, because, you know, new experiences, you know, if you get closer to something that you might have like a bias towards, I think you're more, you know, you're going to understand it and then you're going to be like, all right, you know, like, I have no problem with this anymore. Sometimes when I was there, it felt like this whole thing was just like an elaborate scam by the hippie guys just to fuck the hippie girls. Or European tourists who wanted to be hippies. There's a lot of European tourist girls. I felt like they, you know, like, I'd overhear like the guys going like this, like talking to like a group of women, like three women, like, I really think we should just go over there and have a cuddling session right now. You know, if you feel like your boundaries are being crossed, you could just tell me at any time. I was thinking like, wow, like they're falling for this. And like the girls are just like nodding, like really interested in it. And I'm like, this is bullshit. You know, sometimes it would be like that.
Oh, it kind of reminds me of that that kind of Jewish hippie from Wet Hot American Summer.
It was very much like I was staying with like a bunch of different versions of him, and I know who you're talking about from the show.
Yeah, remember he was like, in the TV show version, he was like, he was going after the hot girl, and he kept like showing her all that. Yeah, it was exactly like that then. That's what I imagined.
Yeah. Sometimes it was, but then like as I got to know these people and really talk to them, like it's like, oh, I guess like you're, well, naturally you're guys, we're all guys here, so we are always trying to do this, but it's like, you know what, like there's more to you than just this, you know. So yeah, like there's like a lot of change. Like I feel like I broke new grounds within myself out of being there, you know. Like we ate like strictly like vegan meals for like a week. For like 2 weeks, I ate nothing but like vegan food, like just vegan.
Yeah, and you had an interesting bathroom situation there, I believe.
Yeah, they have like compost toilets, so it's like you know, they just dig a hole and they build a bathroom around the hole, and it's like has a mirror and a sink and all the normal stuff a bathroom would, but it's just like you just shit into like a box and it just falls really low. Then you get wood chips and you pour it onto the shit, and there's like no smell at all. Like when you go into the bathroom, it just smells like wood chips. It doesn't matter if someone was just like in there right before you, just wood chips, you know.
And so what happens to the shit?
Eventually, and it was on the day before my last day, we had to empty it out. And that's just the most horrifying, like disgusting thing ever. It's like fucked up. Like the smell is so strong, you just like gag. No, what we do is, they put a trash can under the hole, like one of those big trash cans, like one of those ones that people have in front of their houses. So you're just like shitting into that until it fills up. And it took like 2 weeks for the ones to fill up. And eventually they use the shit in the trash cans as manure, and they keep them in those trash cans for like a year before they could use it as manure. So like in order to like get in order to like put a fresh trash can under the toilet, we have to empty out one that was there for like a year, and it was just the most disgusting smell you'd ever smell in your life. Did it was make so you, bad.
Man, it would make me vomit. It might make me shit from my mouth.
I felt like I was gonna vomit, you know? I did. I felt, and it's like it liquefies. It's just so fucking awful. It's so fucking awful.
Oh man. So that might be enough for me to just want to leave.
No, well, I didn't. It happened on my last day, on my second to last day. That's when it happened. Like, I never thought I was gonna do this, you know. And so yeah, compost toilets and you know, vegan diets, and like, you know, they sing songs, like they thank everyone, they thank the food. They don't so much thank like the people. They like thank the food, like oh, say thank you for that tomato, you know, for, it's like making you healthy, it's feeding you, and it's a lot of like opening up and like talking about your feelings. Like, they have like a feeling circle every morning where they ask everyone like, how are you doing, how do you feel? And like, some people are just clearly like whacked out of their mind. Like, they'd be like, oh, I had a really bad dream last night and it rose up these emotions in me, and like, I was like, ah, oh, this is bullshit, you know. Like, of course, like the first few days it was like all bullshit to me, but eventually like you get into it and you're like, yeah, this isn't so bad, you know. I did like meditation for the first time, I did yoga classes, ate like just vegan food. It was like just a good time, and everyone's just like helping out and like making the community go. Like, if you don't feel like doing something, nobody tells you to do it. Like, they could be like, we need someone to like shovel this hole so we could like put like a something, you know, or so you could plant something, so you could like shoveling, and then someone would be just like, I don't feel like doing this anymore, and they're just like, put the shovel down and go do something else.
And so you still did the shit thing even though you didn't want to.
I felt like, you know, like, I felt like it was time, like, I have to do this, you know, like, you know, someone has to do it. So, like, me, and I was good friends with this British guy, this 20-year-old British, like, gay kid. He was, like, my best friend there, and, like, this Polish guy. It's, like, really, like, he was, like, this guy who just stood out like a motherfucker. Like, he would always, like, till the very end, he, like, talk shit about the hippies. He was like, these people are fucking freaks. He was like a metalhead. He was a metalhead from Poland. And he ended up in a fucking hippie commune.
Wow.
So like the three of us did it, and it was like the most disgusting thing, you know?
Yeah, so tell us about the cast of characters who were there.
Ah, well, there was like this hippie guy from New York who was like so fucking cool. Like, he like sing songs. He was like super quiet until like the very end, and he started like just talking about this wisdom. He's all, sometimes you feel like you don't want to do something, but you just have to realize that. But when you feel that way, it's just like, it's like, he put it in this great way that I can't mimic it. He said like, it's the enemy telling you that you're being stressed out or something. And like, I don't know, he went on, but it was like really wisdom. Like, really profound, you know. Nice. And then like just a bunch of like European girls who were like really hippie and like wide-eyed, you know. Like, sometimes some of them remind me of like the Manson girls, you know, the girls that were like with Charles Manson.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but it was nice. There was like this Danish girl, and like we had like this little romance thing, you know. We'd like make out and cuddle and like give each other massages for like a good like week and a half, you know. And we had this like amazing moment, because her birthday was four days after mine. So like, we had like a double celebration at night, just like me, her, like the hippie leader, and this girl from the Ukraine. She was just kind of there, and like, we were playing Wham, like George Michael, and like dancing and like singing happy birthday. And then we just kind of kissed, and then we just kind of had a thing. And it was very heartbreaking at the end. Like, I don't know, you know, she was very hot and cold, but I blame it, like the way I see it, like, it must have been hard for her, because, you know, I think, like, she's 20 years old, and I'm 28, and I think back to when I was, like, 21, and, like, trying to go for this 30-year-old girl, and I was like, I can't, like, I liked her and I kind of wanted to be with her, but at the same time I felt like, oh, like her, she's done, you know, like she's like she's hit the end of her road, the end of her youth is over, and I'm like here in the beginning and on fire. And I just imagine like you know, like someday she just wouldn't like talk to me so much, or she wouldn't be so affectionate. I'd be like, this is probably what she's thinking about me, like, right now. Like, she thinks, like, oh, this 28-year-old guy, like, he's cool, but he's probably at, like, the end of his youth, you know?
He's almost at the top of the hill, and then it all comes down from there.
Yeah, like, I was thinking about, like, when I was younger and getting, like, trying to go for these older women and how I'd have this, like, bias against them. Like they're cool, but, like now I'm thinking, like, maybe, like, these really young girls, like these like 20-year-olds, and like maybe this is the way they think about me, you know, because I'm still young, but I mean, I think in like a 20-year-old's eyes, it's like not so young anymore, you
know? No, when I was 20, 25 was like ancient.
Yeah, so I imagine like being 28, like I probably seem super ancient, you know.
And I remember, yeah, I remember going out with like a 27-year-old girl when I was like 22, and it just mm-hmm. made, and I just made her look, and she just, it made my life look so cool because I was doing all this stuff.
Yeah, you know.
So
I was like really sad about it though, like you know, like we'd have like these nice talks, like we'd walk together, and like now it's like, you know, like I'm back here in Tel Aviv. I said, like, you know, visit me if you want to, you can stay at my place. And like, you know, she hasn't added me on Facebook. She hasn't, like, you know, she doesn't really respond to my messages. I was in the hospital like 2 weeks ago, and she like said, like, I heard you're in the hospital, Michael. I hope you're okay. But like, it's like obvious, like I was just like some kind of fling. Like I wasn't anything. Like this isn't going anywhere. I was just some kind of like, you know, I was just this like, she just used me for my, for my affections. It's horrible. It's a horrible feeling, you know?
Well,
it would have never worked. She was like completely like pro-Palestinian. It would have never worked for that reason, probably. not that I'm political, but like, you know, I'm like an Israeli citizen. Like I told her, like, I love Israel. And she's all like this. I would never say that I love Israel, but it's nice. I was like, wow.
You're like, you bitch.
No, like, I really think she was like a good person. Like, I think she thinks she's doing what's right. And I think like, the intention is good, you know? Like, I think she's like a really lovely, like, peaceful woman, you know? Like, I really liked her. I did.
Why did you end up leaving the hippie commune?
Because I live in Tel Aviv now. I had my apartment. It's, like, opening up for me. And, like, it opened up. Like, I was going to be able to move in February 1st. So, like, I was like, all right, so I'm going to go to, like, this is it. I can move into my apartment, so I'm leaving you guys, you know. You could come and visit me sometime if you want, but it's, like, my time here is done. And I felt like I took what I could from the hippie commune, you know. Like I went over there and I experienced it, and it was starting to get, like, a little boring. Like, it was losing, like, its flavor, you know.
And are you happy to be back in the real world?
Sometimes I really miss it over there, but it's nice. It's definitely harder in the real world, you know.
Do you thank your food when before you eat it, or like think about it, like thank you?
No, but I've only eaten meat once this week. So like you know, I take some of the hippie stuff with me. Like I've been cooking all week, have not eaten out once. You know, just been cooking.
You know, I've actually been the reverse. I've been like eating meat a lot lately.
It's great though, isn't it? Like. It's great. I love eating out. That's like one of my things, but like, it's great. Like I average out spending $8 a day right now, just $8 a day. That's like the average of what I spend.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And like I eat vegetables and fruits every day, like vegetables for dinner.
This is the healthiest I've ever seen you.
Yeah. But I was in the hospital because I, you know, at the hippie commune, I got a really bad flu and I didn't rest. So my body started like there's a lot of inflammation and stuff. So I had to get antibiotics, and then like I don't know. Now I feel like really like I get like this. Even now after I'm done taking the pills, like I get like this this bloating in my upper abdominal area, and I thought like I had like some kind of spleen disorder. But I went to the emergency room, and they're like, "Your blood is healthy. Like you're like you know, there's nothing. We don't know what's wrong with you. You know." So it's
wow,
like the
you
same.
You must be freaking out. I know you get all WebMD.
Yeah, like it's the same
you're breaking
story.
Up, You're breaking up again. I can't hear you.
Okay. Could you hear me now?
Yeah. Okay. I think we should just start all over from the podcast.
No. Not gonna happen. So, like, yeah, you know, like, it's like the same old story. This has been going on since I was, like, young. Like, going to the doctor for something and they're like, nothing's wrong. It's like, oh, fuck. So, like, what's wrong? Like, why do I feel shit, you know? But I do think I have, like, some acid reflux stuff, you know? Like, some issues with there. So, I'm, like, eating a lot healthier because of that, you know? And I do some, like, yoga stuff in the morning. And, yeah, I definitely feel more adult. And I definitely feel more better about it. Like how you said last year, how you learned how to enjoy being an adult. And I guess you were, like, 28 when you said this as well, right? Or maybe 29.
29, yes. Yeah, 29.
I feel like I've hit this point as well. Like, I'm finally, like, it's opening up for me, like, the enjoyment of being, like, an adult. You know, I have, like, a job that I like. And, like, you know, I actually work, like, when I have nothing better to do, I'm like, oh, I'll just catch up on some writing, you know? Like, I'm a writer now. I have, like, a writing job, you know? It's like I've hit this point where it's like, yeah, you know, I'm not doing some shitty work, you know? Like, I have, like, this, I live in this nice apartment in Tel Aviv, and I have a job that I like, and I feel like, you know, I feel a little successful.
you reached that Frank and Eric level of, like, success, where you're like, things are going pretty good. It's being positive.
Yeah, like, no, it's definitely like a part-time, it's a part-time job, but it pays really well. So, like, I work 10 hours a week. And, you know, by the end of the month, I have enough to cover rent and I have, like, a little extra. So I still, and I have savings at the moment, but I still need to find another part-time job just to compensate, to, like, have fun with and shit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the adult life. And, yeah. So you've been listening to the podcast this past year and, you know, Paige and I have taken it into a kind of a direction of, like, we're growing to be less awkward. Where title of the show is like, it's not as strongly associated with us as it was when we started. And do you feel, as someone now working on your health more, you're working harder now, and then you're eating healthier. Do you feel that makes you less awkward socially overall as well?
Yeah, because I have more confidence in myself, you know. I didn't masturbate for, like, 2 weeks, you know, and I felt, like, superhuman, like, you know, I remember I came back to Tel Aviv, and I got, like, two girls' numbers in one night, like, that I knew, but, like, it's, like, setting something up, like, oh, let's hang out, like, let's do something, you know, and then shortly after, like, I felt really sick one night, and I jacked off, and then it was kind of, like, a relapse, and it was terrible, you know? So, yeah, I'm, like, really going to practice not jerking off because I know for sure that makes a difference. Like, when I don't jack off, I feel like I want it more and I feel, like, more better about myself, you know?
You don't feel drained of your energy, your life energy.
No, I don't. right now I have, like, some stomach issue. That's kind of draining me of my energy. Like, it doesn't make me want to go out right now. But, like, besides that, like, life is pretty good, you know? Like, I feel more open in it. Like, I could just say whatever I want now. Like, I feel very open as a person. And, like, you know, I'm grasping towards more, like, positive things, you know?
That's keeping it positively positive.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, like, a major change from, like, a year ago. Like, when I think about my life a year ago, like, what a wreck, you know? What a wreck I was.
Really? You were unhappy? This time a year ago, you were in Tel Aviv, though.
I left on February 28th. February 28th, I left. So, like, it was around this time where it was, like, things were wrapping up. Like, we were probably doing the podcast in Echo Park or something.
Oh, yeah. You were living in L.A. You had this horrible job taking the bus at, like, 1 a.m. in the morning with, like, Michael Jackson midgets.
Like, that was way before. But, like, no, it's, like, remember around Christmas time last year when we had the podcast and I was, like, all shaking and I showed you the Queen song and how, like, fucked up I was?
Oh, yeah.
Like, life took, like, such an upturn, you know? Like, I knew it would, too. Like things are just, like, pretty good, you know? Like, this beautiful Danish girl just, like, made out with me, was, like, into me, like, let me touch her all I want. Like, you know, like, what the fuck? You know? Like, that was shocking. Like, that was an epiphany moment. And if anything, like, this, she was fucking gorgeous. Like, she's, like, the most gorgeous girl I've ever been with, and I liked her. That's like a weird twist in my life. Usually, like, the girls I date, there's, like, something about them that I don't like. And it's like, I don't like, you know, you're okay. Like, I guess this is as good as it gets. But like, wow, like a girl that was actually like really charming and really sweet liked me. I was like, what the fuck, you know? Like, I like this girl, you know?
And it turned you into more of a charming, sweet, it turned the hard edge, Michael. The edge got softened.
Definitely feel like the edge is getting softened as I get older. You know, I feel like there's definitely like changes going on within me, like mentally, you know, like, you know, like there's just things I want to do. You know, I went to a job fair yesterday, like to look for like work and like for marketing and stuff. And like, just went alone to a job fair and I didn't feel awkward. I just went in, you know, I talked to people and I feel like maybe a year ago, like to go to one alone and do that, it would have been like a little like hard for me to do, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the mindset you have to be is like the mindset when you're like the mindset is supposed to be like, hey, like you go through the doors, so you'd be like, all right, what is this place going to bring me? You know, like what is this place? What new situation am I going to get myself into here? And, you know, you have to just, you know, walk in because you belong.
Yeah.
It's like, I belong here. Boom. And own the room.
Yeah, for sure. You know? And it's, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, so what are your thoughts on the direction of the podcast over the last, of Paige and I's stories and what we've been talking about? Do you have any thoughts about that for the last couple episodes?
I think the last couple episodes were good, but I'm not a fan of like this new journal thing that you do, to be honest. I don't like it.
I'm gonna edit that part out.
Okay. I'm wondering where Penguin Ninja is. Where's Penguin Ninja? And what happened to his podcast? I was enjoying his podcast. I feel like it gave me like a window into another world. Like his pod, like I've never had friends who like discuss things the way his friends did. And I was like, wow, this is like really interesting. Like, I don't remember people like this when I was in college. And it's like, I think like that's like the modern generation. It's very interesting. Like I was like enjoying his podcast and I don't know what happened to it. So like, I would like to find out, like, Penguin Ninja, where's your podcast? What the fuck happened?
Yeah.
2016, a lot of shit happened, you know, a lot.
Yeah,
2017, I think it's gonna be an even better year. Like, I have high hopes for this year. Like, this year is gonna be good, I think.
Tel Aviv, I should try to come again this year, maybe.
You should. You definitely should try to come. Like, remember I was telling you, like, come in February, and now it's February, and it would have been perfect if you would have came. Like, right now I have all the free time I want. Like, there's, you know, it's really cold, but it would have been really cold if you would have came in December too.
Well, it wasn't meant to happen. It wasn't meant to be. I had a good time in Egypt.
Egypt's amazing, man. That's an amazing country too.
Yeah,
I love it. I loved it. So what's going on with your life now? What's going on?
One thing is, like, because you're always sending me, like, so we talk on Facebook a lot, and one thing that's been happening to me lately, you always send me wrestling videos.
Yeah.
It's kind of sparking, like, a second WWE interest in my life. Like, I'm not watching the shows now. Like, if anyone knows, like, I don't give a fuck about sports, but...
Same here.
Yeah, like, fuck sports. Don't watch it now. Fuck the Super Bowl. If you like sports, delete this podcast and go fuck yourself. But, man, I used to love wrestling as when I was...
Dude, it's so good. The old one, like, oh... Like, I watch it, like, looking back, it's so cool. Like the attitude, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It does, yeah. But, like, and then so there's this channel, it's, like, called What Culture Wrestling. And it's just, like, snarky British guy.
Yeah.
Who all he does is talk about, like, every pay-per-view that comes out, and like top 10 like things like WWE doesn't want you to know about a certain wrestler. And I think I was just I was just cooking dinner at home, and I was just watching a whole bunch of them. I sent you the guys, the host of that channel, is like top 10 favorite matches of all time. And I had no idea that like Ric Flair's final match was against Shawn Michaels. And I'm like super emotional watching the highlights. And Shawn Michaels like says, "I'm sorry," before he kicks Ric Flair right in the face.
Dude, I've watched every single one of their like listing videos. Because when I used to work at the hotel at night shift, I was so bored. I used to just watch them all. Every single one I've watched. Every single one.
I have to admit, you know what? Did it make you kind of a little bit interested in some of the new wrestlers?
Not really. They all look boring. Like, there's no gimmick to it anymore, you know?
No, there's this one guy. I think both of these guys actually quit now, but they were there like a couple years ago. Like, one wrestler, Daniel Bryan. He seems pretty cool. He has like a beard. And then, like, there's that guy who did the famous, like, the shoot interview.
Oh, shit. What's his name? Yeah, that one did seem interesting. I would have liked to have seen that.
He's talking to, like anyone who watches wrestling, like, I mean, this is, like, 2014 or something. It's old, to us who's never seen it, who hasn't been watching it since, like, the early 2000s, like, it's, like, it's a big deal. It's, like, we don't know, right?
Yeah.
It's, what's that guy's name? You know what I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about, but I don't, because it was on the Ari Shaffir podcast, and I like watched it. What's his name? Fucking
CM Punk.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
like that dude seems like I was like, oh, like, and it, you know, he's like, he's calling Triple H Paul, and he's like going to talk about The Rock. He's like, yeah, Dwayne's like kissing Vince McMahon's, kissing Vince's ass. Like, it sounded hilarious.
Dude, you know what? I was watching something the other night, though. Like, actually, earlier today, like, I woke up, I was bored. I decided to watch something. It was, like, from 1998. It was, like, when Stone Cold and Vince McMahon were having, like, their big feud. And like, Vince McMahon was like, "You violated me! You came into my house!" And, like, just Stone Cold's in the ring, just, like, nodding his head. I think, like, how ridiculous that they have to talk about these personal matters in an arena full of thousands of people with a microphone. I was like, what the fuck? Like, it just hit me right there. Like all these, like, with the weddings and the ring. Like, what a fucking industry. Like, all this personal shit in front of thousands of people in a new arena every night.
But, like, what it was, like, hilarious. What a time, though, you know?
I know. It was so crazy back then, you know? Like, I feel like it was, like, really cool, you know? Like, back then. Like, back then in, like, the Attitude Era. That was, like, really cool. It was really cool, I think.
Yeah. And also, like, some of those videos make me regret stop watching it. Because, like, there's some cool moments I would have liked to have seen. Like, eventually, like, Edge became the WWE champion. And that would have been, I mean, I think since we had watched him as a tag team, like, seeing him go from the beginning, that would have been cool to see him go to the top like that.
What saddens me is, though, like, Shawn Michaels was, like, my favorite one, and I stopped watching it before he came back.
I watched it when I was still watching it. Like, I saw, like, his return match against Triple H in SummerSlam. Yeah,
I think I went through, like, a phase where I felt, like, really ashamed of it, and I was like, I'm done with this, you know? Like, I'm done, you know?
Apparently, he's had a lot of classic matches since coming back.
Dude, he's like main evented 3 WrestleManias.
3 WrestleMania, and apparently, like, he had like 3 like WrestleMania matches against Triple H, a bunch with The Undertaker. Like, his final match was against The Undertaker. DX came back like twice, and like
what the fuck, you know? Like, but he looked all like old and like cross-eyed or something. Like, something's fucked up with him now. You notice him?
But not when he was wrestling, like, when his comeback, I never realized he was always pretty young when he quit initially. So, like, when he first came back, he was, like, a good age still.
Yeah. But it's very, you know, it's, like, a place where I go to when I'm bored. I, like, go on YouTube and I'm just, like, you know, like, the Nation of Domination. I just, like, type it in or something, you know?
That's what I watch. I have nothing to do today. I don't feel like work. I'm going to watch Nation of Domination videos. Videos.
You know? Or I go, like, even further back. Like, I go back sometimes and watch, like, you know, like, Owen Hart versus Bret Hart in, like, the steel cage match or something.
That's a great match.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what the hell we're talking about.
Nobody does. But you know what? I challenge you that one day we should do like an episode where this is all we talk about. Because I think someone, like people know, especially if they're like from 1999 or something, 2000, don't know what we're talking about, you know?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, like, I feel like everyone that I like in like the world they like wrestling. Like, you know, Frank and Eric's podcast, they've dropped wrestling like word, you know, wrestling characters in their random conversations before. The dude from Former Ghosts, all he does is post about wrestling on his Twitter.
Like,
who would have ever thought?
It really has like a rich history. Like when you look at like the 80s and the 90s, it was like the best, you know? It's really great, like looking at the, like, I think it's like pathetically bad now for sure. Like, it seems really shit. Like, I wouldn't watch it now. But, like, when you look back to, like, the 80s and the 90s, it was, like, something. It was really something, you know?
Yeah, and then remember, yeah. And then like, every WrestleMania, it would be, like, it would begin with old black and white footage. And it would be, like, of Ted Diaz. Not Ted Diaz. Who was that?
Freddie Blassie.
When I remember WrestleMania. There weren't even that many back then.
I know, they're like, it was like 14 years ago.
Okay. And that was like WrestleMania 33.
Yeah. Anyway, I went to a Filipino club last night. Like, Tel Aviv has a huge Filipino population here in like the south. There's a lot of Filipinos. You know.
You don't think about that, but when you think of Israel, like, oh, Filipinos in Israel. That's interesting.
Okay, like, I used to live in this, when I first moved here, I lived in this neighborhood called Shapira. It's like by the bus station. It's south. It's like apparently where like the crime is, but there's no crime. And it's like the most multicultural neighborhood. You have like a lot of Russians, Ethiopians, Eritreans, Filipinos, Chinese. You have Orthodox Jews, of course, and like what else? Indian people as well. So it's like the most diverse block in the city. And I used to live there in this district. And there's a Filipino club. There's a Filipino club there, and we weren't gonna go last night. Me and my friend, we were gonna go to like a fetish club, and we ended up not going because it cost a lot of money to get in. So we ended up we just wanted to try like something different. So we ended up going to a Filipino club. And it was like really like it was way more high energy than I thought. Like I thought it was gonna be like kind of shitty. Like it's gonna be shit, you know, a Filipino club. I don't want to fucking go. But we went. And it was like they played like good high energy music the whole time. You know, they had like people and drinks and tables. Like all the Filipino girls would like look at you. You know, I'm pretty sure he took one home. Like definitely I left before him because he was getting like really close with this Filipino girl, and I was like, all right, like I was feeling a little sick still, so I was like, I'm gonna take off, dude. And he's all like, all right, yeah, see ya. But like, wow, like totally, like Filipino club just fucking surprised the fuck out of me last night.
Man, you should have just walked around and be like, hey, no, my last name's Filipino. What's up?
I felt like really sick and like dizzy because I'm still sick. But like it looks like definitely like a cool place. Like, you know, some of the girls were really pretty there. Like you know, it was like really, it was interesting. Like usually we don't do this shit. Like in Israel, like we don't go to Filipino clubs. So it's like fucking cool, you know.
But you don't. Do you go to any kind of club? Because Tel Aviv is supposed to be a cool city, but you've never talked about like the music. Do you go to the music scene there? What's like the punk scene over there? Like the music.
There is one. There's like a few places that play like live bands, and I've been living in Tiberias, so I didn't go. I didn't go for a while, but like yeah, there's like some cool places where they play like indie music and punk rock and like experimental. There's like a huge music scene here, man. Like there's like bars there's like kind of like this like, you know, like Depeche Mode kind of.
Yes.
Like Depeche Mode and like that like kind of like, not gothic, but it's kind of like we wear like jackets and like, you know, like we're really obscure type of people. Like there's like a whole scene for that, and those places are really cool to go. And like, you know, the punk rock scenes are really cool, the indie music scenes, and you know, there's like I live in like the Williamsburg of Tel Aviv right now. I live in this district called Florentine, So it's like really nice here, you know, you walk down the street, everyone's walking their dogs, people are on like electric bicycles, and like, it's like really cool, you know, it's like such a cool place. I love where I live, you know, I love it here.
I think that's the important thing in life. It's like, you know what? I don't care where I live. I need to live in a cool neighborhood no matter what.
Definitely. Like, I live in the cool neighborhood. Like, I live in the cool one. It's like I live in the Echo Park of Tel Aviv, you know? And, like, I'm not, like, I don't have, like, this great hipster fashion, but it's, like, nice. Like, I feel, like, happy, you know? Like, all the people are cool here, you know? It's all young people, like, coffee shops where people, like, sit outside and, like, watch the people walking around. It's, like, really awesome. There's graffiti all over the walls. Like, and there's, like, a dreadlock scene here, too, like, where, like, there's hippies, like, with dreadlocks and, like, you know. And so, and that's, like, heavy in this area as well. And, like, yeah, but I go to clubs, you know? I go to clubs as well. Like, my friends, they like to dance. Like, I have a very diverse group of friends. Some like to go, like, to see the band. Some like to, like, go clubbing and stuff. So it's, like, you know, it's, like, cool. Everywhere here, it's, like, cool. You could do either one. There's not a lot of, like, douchey. It's not as douchey as it is in America. You know, you dance, you have a good time. It's not so bad.
And what are the cast of characters of friends?
Okay, so they're the friends I had beforehand. One of my friends, he's in Africa right now. He's doing, like, this long trip in Africa. He's in, like, Kenya. And he's a cool guy. He's a photographer. And he's, like, Yemenite. Like, Yemenite Israeli Jew. Then my other friend, he's, like, a major pothead. And another one's, like, you know, he's like the younger one, but he's like the classical, like, just like, I don't know, he's like innocent in his own little way, but he gets all the girls. I don't know how he does it. He's like the, I don't know if you ever go through this, but you have like this friend who's like super, like, you know, like just that, like a handsome motherfucker. So like all the girls like him. So when you go out with them, it's like, you know, like they're going to go for him and not you, you know?
It's like a group of girls, and there's like the one hot girl surrounded by the less attractive ones.
Yeah, like, it's kind of like that, you know? So, like, last night, it was just me and him, and we were going to the club, and I kind of knew, like, yeah, you know, they're all going to go for him. But, you know, I'm fine. I'm just here and having the experience, you know?
you're the Chandler to his Joey.
That's what I was last night. But, like, if we go in a big group, it doesn't really matter. Like, everyone just kind of fades in and does their own shit. Yeah, like, yeah, I have, like, a good group of friends here. Like, you know, I have AIDS. My friend has AIDS, one of them. We call him AIDS Soggy. I call him AIDS Soggy. That's his nickname.
Those are two
words. I don't
say
it to his face. Yeah, his name's Soggy. So I call him AIDS Soggy. Yeah, I just found out he had AIDS. Like, he said he's had it for, like, 5 years. Like, I met him. He was the first person I met here. Like, he had my, he was living in a storage area of an apartment complex because he got kicked out. And it's a very strange story. Like, he's not a part of the group of friends, but, like, he was living in a storage compartment. He had no electricity or running water. So, like, for, like, the first, like, 9 months where I knew him, he'd ask for, like, he'd, like, come over to the apartment and be like, do you mind, do you think I could use your shower? And I'd be like, no. Like, I didn't know this for the longest time. So I'd be like, no, you can't use my shower. And, like, sometimes he'd just smell really bad. And he'd be like, from when I first knew him, he was, like, a Kramer of my life. Like, he'd show up with, like, a frozen pizza. He'd be like, I was wondering if I could cook the pizza in your apartment. And I didn't know that his apartment just didn't have anything, like, his space. I was like, no, you can't cook this pizza in my apartment.
Get out of here.
Yeah, or sometimes I would. I'd be like, yeah, sure, you'd cook the pizza in my apartment.
You gotta give me half.
Yeah, or sometimes he'd like come and he'd be like, I was wondering if I could borrow some water, you know? And like, it was like a very strange situation. It was like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? But anyway, like, so like, I was the person who replaced him. Like, I was living in his apartment that he lived. Like, they kicked him out and put him in the storage apartment, and I moved in. He just became like one of my good friends, you know? Like, he's like a really good friend, but he's like a weird motherfucker. And like, he's like really depressed at the moment. Like, he lives with his mother. He's 29 years old. He's gonna be 30, and his life just took like this downfall at the moment. Like, he lives with his mom. He has AIDS. No, I asked him, like, how did you get AIDS? He's like, I think, like, he said he was, like, fucking whores in the bedroom and like, in, like, my old room before I lived there. He's like, oh, I was fucking whores. I'm like, you didn't use condoms? He's like, sometimes I wouldn't. I'm like, you dumb motherfucker, you know, you have AIDS.
Wow, it's hard to get AIDS from a woman, too.
I know. Like, well, he has HIV. It's HIV.
Oh, the HIV.
But, yeah, but we call it, you know, I call him AIDS Soggy. That's his name.
Full blown.
Full-blown AIDS, you know. So, yeah, you know, I have, like, other friends, like, a lot. You know, one of them's, like, an officer in the Army. The other one's, like, this guy who's always, like, we want to, like, build a site together because he always has ideas. And, yeah, you know, and there's, like, a cast of other people as well. Some friends I have in Jerusalem who I don't visit anymore because I don't go to Jerusalem.
Man, I kind of want to – man, this makes me really want to go to Israel.
Dude, it's such a cool place, man. It's such a cool fucking place. Like, I love it here. Like, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else if I could. Like, this is definitely, like, my favorite city. Like, Tel Aviv and LA, I think those are the two best cities.
Wow, okay, yeah, but you were living in – oh, no, you were – well, you technically weren't living in LA last year, so you were out in the WC.
Yeah, but you know – yeah, but you know what? When I think of LA, I think of, like, 2011, you know, like, chilling with Joseph and Jonathan and going to Pasadena and all these cool places, you know? Like, LA's a great city. I love it. Like, I would never, like, you know, be – when I lived in the hostel, one of the guys who worked there was from New York. We used to always have these arguments. I would be like, fuck New York. Like, LA is so much better. And he'd be like, no, fuck LA. And it'd get, like, so, like, intense sometimes, like, the conversations that we'd have, this argument.
Tupac, Biggie,
It even actually one day it did go to that. It was like, you know, like, you know, Tupac is way better than Biggie. Yeah, I would, like, list all the albums. Like, it was great, you know. But yeah, like yeah, I love LA. I feel like I was really hating it last year. But I feel like since I live, like, here now, like, I only remember, like, the good things, you know, like. Yeah, I like it. Like, I always be, like, a product of that city, of that area. Like, you know, Los Angeles County, at least, you know? I think one of the great things about now, like, how I feel, taking, like, a left turn here, like, a random turn, is I feel like I could be, like, super open with people. And, like, this is one thing about Israel, though. Nobody's very sensitive to like, other people's feelings here. Like, everyone's just straight up telling you how they feel all the time. Like, there's no, like, awkward going around
things. You're not stepping on coals or anything like that, or, you know?
Nobody steps on coals for anyone here. And I love it, you know? Because this is the way I've always been, kind of. So I, like, thrive in it. Like, you know, everyone's just telling you what they think. Like, you know, like, I feel like I like, being at that hippie commune, it really has made me, like, open up to that more. Like, I just tell people what they think, what I think, you know? I think it works well with, like, women, and it works well, you know, in all aspects, you know? Except job interviews. That could be kind of shitty.
Oh, man, dude. Well, you know, keep going in the direction you're going right now, and job interviews will be no problem.
Man. Yeah, but I feel like in a job interview, you don't want to tell them exactly what you want. You want to be what they want you to be, or at least appear to be that
The key is just ask them questions, you know? Ask them, yeah. like, what is your relationship with your employees? You know, how is it? You know, what is the culture there? That's all you got to do. The key to always talking to anybody, this is from one of the books I'm reading right now. The key is to just, you know what? Get the person to talk about themselves.
Yeah, but, like, the same question, like, all right, I applied for this job that paid 9,000 shekels a month, and I had an interview, and it was going great. The only thing is, it was a job, like, it wasn't what I wanted to do with my life. Like, it wasn't writing. It was, like, it was being, like, not a customer service person, but, like, it was for not Uber, but this new company like Uber, and a driver would call you if they had a problem, and you'd be like, all right, this is what you have to do, blah, blah, blah. Like, you were helping the drivers, and it paid good. Like, 9,000 shekels, that's, like, more than 2,000 bucks a month. Like, it's really good. But I told them in the interview, like, you know, this is definitely not where I want to be in a long term, but I'll do it for now, and I hope I could, like, move into a different compartment with the company, maybe marketing or something, content writing. Because of that, they didn't hire me. Because I openly told them I didn't want to do, like, this forever, you know?
Yeah, you probably should have not said that.
And that's exactly the time not to be upfront, you know? And I regretted that too, because this was like 5-6 months ago when I really needed work. But I was like, I got like one freelance writing job, my first one, and I felt like really big headed, like, no, I want to do this. I don't want to do anything else, you know?
Fuck, and that's how I ended up in like,
yeah, and this is how I ended up in like Tiberias, like for the Sea of Galilee. I was living there for like 4 months, 5 months almost. It's terrible. Religious,
Well, I think it's about time to wrap up this podcast.
Okay, but before you do that, can I tell you one like interesting story?
Go for it.
Okay. The other day, I was walking down the street right by the apartment, and I saw this electric bike guy just rammed into this old van so fucking horribly. Just rammed into him, and the old man just fell, hit his head on the concrete, and was passed out. And like, there's a blood going from under his head. A crowd gathered. Like, the guy on the bike was like so fucked up. Like, he was like almost crying. He felt so bad. Like, the ambulance came, and I was just like, holy shit, you know? This is like, it's amazing that over here, like, I feel like if this happened back home, nobody would have done anything. But over here, like, a giant crowd gathered of like 30 people, all just to see like this old guy on the floor just laying there. You know, it was amazing.
It was a commotion.
Yeah, like everything is a commotion here. Like if someone's having like an argument about like something, like, oh, your car hit mine, like a bunch of people will get involved. They're all start talking. It's like
you start,
man,
crowding around.
Yeah, like people start giving their opinions about things, and like, it's so cool, man. Like, this is like a great country, man. Free medical care.
God, that's what I feel like I gotta move over there when my body starts falling apart.
Dude, I go to the doctor whenever I want. I don't pay anything. I just go. You know, it could be something really small. I remember I got like a bad splinter and I went to like the doctor. I was like, ah, oh, it's kind of stuck there. It's great. All right, so do you want me to read a Michael's musing or something?
Well, I was about to say that, actually. So I think I should read it and then get your reaction to it.
Okay, go ahead, read one.
Okay, so, you know, we're wrapping to the end of the podcast, and we're going to do a Michael's Musings, the part where we go to Michael's Facebook and read one of his posts on thoughts and life. And, you know, see, since Michael himself is in the studio tonight in the Mutually Awkward headquarters, we're gonna see a live reaction. So here we go. I like this one. It's from January 30th at 2 a.m. I guess
I know this one. I already know it just for the time and the day. Okay, go ahead and read it.
All right, here it is. Michael's Musings, January 30th, 2 a.m. Life is a mind fuck. A very, very beautiful mind fuck. It sticks its ancient, scary 30-inch cock into my head and fucks my brains and my being, my well-being with such a killer passion. Bam! It's done its job. I'm left busted up in the insides. Pleasured, pain, and wandering. Wandering for a sanctuary where I can sit quietly and piece my life together. Life is the most beautiful whore you've ever seen. She calls from a discreet corner, seduces, gives you a go, and then goes. She'll be back when you at least expect to again. And beautifully, oh shit. And beautifully, fuck your mind and world. So sweet. It's a fuck so beautiful that it's almost scary because you can't have it on a consistent basis. So good, it scatters my psych and leaves me to piece my mind together. Michael's Musings.
Wow. Yeah, that was a good musing.
Where were you when you wrote that one?
Okay, so it was right before I moved into the apartment I am now, and I was sleeping on the floor at my friend's house. And that was the night I got home from the emergency room, and I was like thinking about the Danish girl, and I felt like so sad that I wasn't with her and I missed her, but at the same time I was like really thankful that I even got to have the experience at all. It was like coming to terms that, like, you know, it was a beautiful moment, but like, I guess just sometimes nothing happens. Like, it's not going to go any further than this, and I should just appreciate it. And it's kind of a mind fuck. It's kind of fucked up that this has to happen. And, you know, I was getting attached to something, I was loving it, and now it's just gone, you know? it's gone. And I mean, that's the mind fuck. And now I'm in Tel Aviv and I'm starting this new life. You know, I'm looking for a new job and like I'm excited about one thing. I'm sad. I got really used to living in the hippie commune with like the all this shit, you know, and it was like sad to see it ripped away. But it was like happy to see this new life begin. And I just felt like really scattered in my brain.
I mean, dude, that's exactly it. You have to appreciate the good things in life. It's a roller coaster.
It is, it is, it is. And I learned to, like, you know, of course, in like a month from now, I'm probably not going to think about this at all. It's just like a little fresh. So it's like a little like, you know, I feel like I felt better after I wrote that status because I released like what I felt, you know, like
The TV show continues.
Yeah, you know, it was like it's like a very traumatic episode of like Seventh Heaven, and you know, they like show Matt looking into the distance, and then like the credits just start to roll. Then the next episode, it's like nothing ever happened at all.
Yeah, Heather's gone. It's back to business. Yeah,
Heather's gone. You know, you're gonna meet someone who can hear you now. But like,
it's the most random reference ever.
I know. I know.
You know, people don't like men. You know, oh, a couple of weeks ago, like, we were talking about, like, actors who, like, went down, and I think I told my coworker, he's like, I told him, like, yeah, you know, I'm the dad from Seventh Heaven. He's a pedophile, right? He got caught. And he's like, what? He's like, Googling it. And he's like, no! He was such a good guy!
I know.
Michael, we'd love to have you back on the show sometime.
It was nice. It was nice, like, informing the people of my return, of my status, my current status.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
I've come back from a breakdown.
Break it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a wrestling joke right there.
Yeah. Awesome. So, peace.
Just a nothing but some underwear.